Sports Talk with Joe Smith is proud to present Behind the Scenes with IU Vice President and Director of Athletics, Fred Glass, brought to you by IU Athletics. Come on back home again to Indiana. It's a whole new ballgame. Buy tickets now at IUHoosiers.com. Now, from Yogi's at the corner of 10th and Indiana, here's Joe Smith and Fred Glass.
So we move through December, our first wintry mix of the season. Winter, of course, and the holidays right around the corner. Schedules heavy with commitments this time of year. We understand that. And stepping in for IU Vice President Director of Athletics, Fred Glass, on Behind the Scenes, brought to you by IU Athletics. We have sworn in again the Deputy Senior Assistant Director, Scott Dolson, with a biggie in hoops for the ninth-ranked Hoosiers of Tom Crean Saturday as they take on the Butler Bulldogs up in Indianapolis, the annual Crossroads Classic. And after Christmas, Indiana's bowl game with Utah out in beautiful Santa Clara, California. The Foster Farms bowl game 2016 with all of its pageantry getting set for the Hoosiers and the Utah Utes. We'll get an update from Scott behind the scenes, as I mentioned, brought to you by IU Athletics. 24 sports, one team. A little bit later, we were due to have live J.B. Neal, the head coach of the Edgewood Mustangs. He still lives in neighboring Greene County, and they had no school today. One, two, the roads are still a little bit testy, and three, JB just had an appendectomy earlier last week. As a matter of fact, he had it a week ago yesterday. Still coached the Mustangs to a split at this past weekend, so under doctor's orders, they thought on a bitter cold night that it'd be better if we just talk with JB over the phone tonight, and we'll have him back on, and Cooper Bybee and also Jason Brown, a couple of the veteran senior captains, will be back with us as Edgewood. They're involved in a key WIC East clash this Friday night in our broadcast game against the Braves of Indian Creek, who, like Edgewood, are 2-0 in the WIC East. So Coach JB will be joining us on the phone to talk a little about taking over the Edgewood program, which he assumed last July, and the Mustangs off to a 4-2 start. But that being said, a busy show with Scott Dolson, Indiana Athletics. We welcome you to Sports Talk. As always, we're live from Yogi's Sports Bar and Grill here at the corner of 10th and Indiana, along with our producers Will Boatman, high atop our One City Center studios downtown, and on-site producers Joanna and Mike Glasscott, and all of our sponsors. Happy holidays from everyone here at Yogi's and yours truly. Well, Deputy, thanks for hopping in the hot seat again on a cold night, and it's getting chilly. Well, our first wintry mixed in with exams. It's a busy non-week, if you will, at least athletically speaking, until the weekend.
Exactly. It's great to be here with you again, Joe. It's been an exciting time. As you mentioned, with the selection of the Foster Farms Bowl, since that point, it's been kind of a whirlwind in the athletic department, and a lot of things moving and getting ready for that. And at the same time, making certain that we're still taking care of our day-to-day operations with our basketball programs going strong and all the other events that are happening. So it's a busy time.
As I mentioned, while the Hoosiers play in the Crossroads Classic up in Indianapolis at Bankers Life Fieldhouse against Butler, the IU women of Terry Morin will be in action on Saturday with a 5 o'clock tip against Oakland University. Well, I must say, and we had you on stepping in for Fred, who was called away in November, Scott. a lot has happened. We had you on, I believe we played North Carolina on a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Then the following day, Kevin Wilson resigned, and Tom Allen moved to the forefront, and we took care of business with North Carolina. That was a pretty 2-1-2 salvo there to, shall we say, digest and move forward.
Exactly. There's a lot of things going on. Again, the North Carolina game, we couldn't have scripted that any better. No. What a night. And that game in one night showed why we needed to keep Assembly Hall, why we renovated Assembly Hall, because that building just was – there's just nothing like it when it's at that level. And it was just such a great night, and what a huge win for the program and the fans. And Coach Crean just did an amazing job getting the team ready, and just all came together. And then the 81 reunion was that night. That was terrific with Isaiah Thomas and Ray Tolbert and all the rest of the guys back for that. So it just couldn't have went any better. And then obviously on Thursday, it was a tough day. But as Fred said in his press conference, I thought Fred did a great job. And – handling that, and it was a tough situation, but we're moving forward. And then, of course, with Coach Allen, we just hit the ground running. And as I said when I got here, before we went on air, you know, with the Foster Farms Bowl in that selection that Sunday, it just has been running downhill. In fact, Anthony Thompson headed up our delegation as an advanced team to go out to San Francisco late last week. He was there Thursday and Friday. They left late Wednesday night, and then he turned around and went back to San Francisco yesterday with Coach Allen for a full day.
Yeah.
Got back at 4 in the morning. So Anthony's made 2 trips to San Francisco in 6 days, I believe it is.
Yeah, we want to get an update. I know you were in on those meetings when they came back and gave you all the information, and we'll talk a little about that in a second. But, you know, not only was it a difficult situation at the Hinkie Hall of Champions on December the 1st, it was difficult for Tom Allen. I mean, here he was thrust at 10 o'clock. He was still defensive coordinator, which he still is, but then he was elevated to head coach. But, you know, he showed a lot of moxie, a lot of just strong character sitting there on a difficult night where the man that brought him to Indiana University had resigned earlier in the day. But he brought up his family right off the bat, shows us the quality of the guy, and we've really gotten to know him throughout the fall here, Scott, running our defense.
Couldn't agree more, Joe. And he couldn't have handled that any better and with more class. And that, of course, is a tough situation with Coach Wilson and tough for him. But at the same time, it was really tough on Coach Allen to be put in that situation literally hours later, sitting at that press conference and handling it the way he did. I was really, really impressed, as with most of our fans, or the majority of our fans, were really just couldn't believe how well he handled that in a tough circumstance.
Well, no question about it. And this will be Indiana's first trip. You know, Mark Diehl all let us know relatively early after the destination was known on Sunday, going west to California. The last time that Indiana went west to play in a bowl game, it came back a winner. And that was, of course, the 79 Lee Corso coached Holiday Bowl team that we beat BYU that evening in San Diego. Hopefully
Mark's karma
there.
Yeah,
huh?
Mark's let us know that several times, that it was another team for Utah and out in California.
Yeah.
We just couldn't be more excited to be playing in a second bowl game in a row and just a quality bowl. And as I think I may have mentioned this to you earlier, Joe, when I was talking to our Big Ten administrators, a couple of them, and they've been out there several times. And one administrator in particular, longtime staffer with the Big Ten, told me that he's been to all the bowls. He's worked in the Big Ten for over 30 years. And he said that the Foster Farms Bowl is his favorite bowl that he's been to, just because of the way they handle things, the stadium, the feel. It's just a great bowl. So we're excited for our team, for our fans, and for our whole program just to have that opportunity.
Well, we know we'll eat a lot of chicken. When I know I'm leaving the 26th, the day after Christmas. I think the football team's leaving the 22nd?
23rd.
So they're leaving on that Friday, maybe. Sounds right. Right before Christmas Eve, obviously. So, well, we'll talk a little bit more about that, and obviously a big basketball game. Things continuing to roll on for the Hoosiers of Tom Crean and Terry Morin's Indiana women. Again, the women at home Saturday evening early at 5. The men play at the same time, but up the road in Indy at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. As we continue along with Deputy Director of Athletics, Scott Tolson, behind the scenes. We'll be back with more from Yogi's Sports Talk on a Tuesday night right after these timeouts. Welcome back, everyone, along with our producer, Will Bowman, on-site producer, Mike Glasscott and Joanna Glasscott. And mentioning Yogi's, you can order from Yogi's. And, the fact of the matter is, it's just gotten easier. They started this a few weeks ago. Go to yogis.com or download the app, browse the menu, and place an order for carryout. You can pay online, and your order will be ready to pick up at your predetermined time. Something new going on at Yogi's. As we sit and go behind the scenes with Senior Assistant VP Director of Athletics Scott Dolson, talking a little about the bowl game. You mentioned Anthony Thompson went out with a crew of Indiana, the official Indiana party, lining up things. And just tell us what, when they came back, how impressed were you, and what you find out relevant to, now the whole bunch, the team and the official party and the fans headed out west.
They came back really impressed, Joe. And it's really an important trip because they go out there and it's really all about logistics. There's a lot of meetings. The bowl has a real big day and a half set up where they talk a lot about logistics with the bowl itself, and they meet with the hotel. And really, you're transporting, I think, our total party, including band and cheer and team. We're getting close to 600 people, and it's a big operation. And so they were really, really busy. I know they were wiped when they got back, but it really went well, and they just couldn't say enough good things about the facility itself, the stadium. You know, it hosted a Super Bowl, I think, a couple years ago, and it's fairly new. And it, more importantly, the people associated with the bowl were just so excited to have us and really friendly and just felt like they came back and they said they felt like they were long friends with the people they just met that are putting on the Foster Farms Bowl. So it was really good. Ooh. And this is the first year that the 49ers are actually involved with the bowl. So the San Francisco 49ers organization is helping put it on, which is a big deal as well.
Well, they do indeed do a nice job. I've been told that as well. And I know Tom went back out there with HCE because he and Kyle Whittingham, the head coach of the Utah Utes, they began their swing through, all of the bowl responsibilities, the bowl hype going on, and with the press conferences, some of the early ones, and teleconferences and what have you that we were on Monday afternoon. But, yeah, it's great. And there's a good delegation of Indiana alums out in that particular neck of the woods.
We're real excited. We've sold over 2,000 tickets already, so we feel like we've got some momentum there with ticket sales. JT Forbes is doing a great job heading up the University Bowl Committee, and he and a small contingent of his team, they're going out to San Francisco tomorrow to do their advanced trip and look at everything, get everything ready for all the fans coming to San Francisco and the Bay Area. So we feel like we're ready. It's funny, having gone through the Pinstripe Bowl last year and actually working with the Yankees, our team, in terms of administratively, feel really more prepared than ever. We feel like we've got our feet wet from last year and are really confident going into it. We want to have an ultimate bowl experience for our players, for our fans, and for at the same time, when we leave San Francisco, I told our team this earlier in the week of administrators, when we leave San Francisco, we want the bowl folks to say, hey, we would love to have Indiana back someday. That we wish all of our teams handle things the way Indiana does, and that's the way we want to operate.
You know, I touched on it, of course, when we had you on, when you were in for Fred back in November, Scott, and Scott Dolson joining us behind the scenes here at Yogi's tonight. You know, we were talking a little about learning, going through the procedure with the Pinstripe Bowl, this time a year ago in New York. Now we have another big locale in San Francisco. But, yeah, I mean, having gone through all of that, and there are a lot of, T's to cross and I's to dot, aren't there?
Yeah, there is. There's a lot that goes into it, more than just the game. And at times you have to kind of sit back and remind yourself that this is a game. There's a football game that's going to be played because there's a lot of other things that goes on. But, again, I'm real excited because I think last year at the Pinstripe Bowl, we accomplished our goal there. And I know that the Pinstripe Bowl staff really had nothing but great things to say about our fans, about our team, about our program. And I think that helps. I know it helps. And I think the Big Ten, as they talk to other bowls, Indiana's a desirable opponent, a desirable school to have participate in their bowl, and that's something that we really want, and that's something that we strive for.
Oh, yeah, Big Ten against Pac-12 in Utah, formidable to say the least, 19th ranked. They score a lot of points, but they give up a lot of points. And the other great thing, too, we look at the practice opportunities that have been afforded, you know, those 15 extra works, and, you know, I was talking, Mitchell Page was telling me earlier in the week, he was one that was yearning a year ago for more reps, and he used that to get better this year. And he brought up a point about the young players, you know, the guys that were on the scout team and the guys that haven't played a lot, to really, you know, they're getting more reps. So this is a win-win situation, really.
No question about it. And you remember Bill Mowry saying there's no such thing as a bad bowl because it does so many things for the program. And you could just see it with the players and their development and just the feel around the program. And so we're excited to go to San Francisco and what that will do. But at the same time, I think the long-term impact on the program will be just continuing to go to bowls and what that does for the development of the program.
No question. In Indiana's first back-to-back bowls in a quarter century. And Scott was mentioning Bill Mowry. And we go back to that era of when Indiana played in back-to-back bowls, and Indiana during that time frame of, 9 years anyway, six bowls in 9 years. Tickets today being the 13th of December, so we are nearing the holidays, obviously. Is there going to be a ticket cutoff for the bowl game if Hoosier fans listening want to maybe grab a ticket?
You know, we'll be able to sell tickets right up until the night before the game. So our fans, if they go online, iuhoosiers.com, we do have Bowl Central where you can order tickets, and we actually have had great responses. It's amazing that how much business is done online now that we don't really used to be pretty cumbersome to try to get tickets to folks. But we've processed so many orders already, and that's worked great. And our ticket folks with Mike Osmondson and his team are really ready to go. So we'll be ready to sell up until the night before and leave tickets at will call, obviously, if we can't send them out. And we want to get as many fans there as possible.
There's also an angle, too, with a lot of armed services personnel in that San Francisco area, getting perhaps donating tickets or buying them allowing them who are, would be Hoosier fans, obviously.
Right.
But that's a great venue.
No question about it. We did that last year at the Pinstripe Bowl as well and had an opportunity for people that couldn't make it could purchase a couple of tickets, donate them back to the armed services folks, and it really is a nice thing all around, and again, having some early success with that as well this year.
Well, there's a lot going on that particular day, and it comes, I think, at a better time, too, because it's later. It's it's 3 days after Christmas rather than the Pinstripe Bowl, which obviously was the day after Christmas. But that being said, mentioning Wednesday the 28th, we have the women playing at Penn State. We have the men hosting Nebraska, opening up the Big Ten. We have the bowl game, but for those fans, and I hope, unless they've been living in caves the last couple of weeks, they are now aware that the basketball game has been pushed up, and it's a nice daily double, hopefully, at the big screen indoors in the warm Simon Scott Assembly Hall.
You're right, Joe, and we really appreciate Coach Crean. We went to him right away and said, would you be okay if we went to the Big Ten and asked them to move that tip-off time up a half hour so we didn't have the overlap? And he was terrific and moved the game time to 6:30. And then one of the things that's going to be, I think, pretty neat for our fans and unique is that after the basketball game in Simon Scott Assembly Hall is we're going to have the big screen TVs rolling and Big Ten or the monitors rolling, and we're going to be playing the bowl game on the big screen and encourage fans to stay in Simon Scott Assembly Hall and have a big TV party in there to watch the bowl game against Utah. So that'll be really neat for our fans.
And hopefully a good start for Indiana playing the Nebraska Cornhuskers that night. Again, tip time will be at 6:30, followed, of course, by the bowl game. Well, we're talking about basketball, and, I think this is maybe the fifth or sixth year. I know Tom is 2-1 against Butler, and he's played Notre Dame twice. So this would, I think, be the sixth Crossroads Classic. And that is something that your boss, Fred Glass, got involved with the other AD 6 years ago, or even a little bit longer than that, to devise this concept. We're not going to play Purdue because we're either going to play them once or twice anyway in the Big Ten, which makes sense. But welcome in Notre Dame, Butler, and call it a classic. And, boy, has it been a 10 strike.
It really has, Joe. It's been a tough ticket. They've been great games, and we're real excited for our fans to have that opportunity. We've always had success when we played games up in Indianapolis, as you know, and this is just another one of those in a long series of different opportunities we've had for fans to come see the Hoosiers play when we're up in Indy, and we're excited to play Butler. They've got a really good team this year, as they have in recent years, and so I think it'll be a great game, and we're excited to be there.
Backers Live Fieldhouse at 5 o'clock against the Bulldogs, unless the Purdue-Notre Dame game goes into overtime or runs late, and there's always the possibility of that, and all four teams are ranked.
Exactly.
You said it was going to be a tough. It'll be a tough ticket,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, definitely. Ticket sales went quickly for that. In fact, we're getting a lot of calls this week from people who maybe didn't order them and would like to, and it's been tough because we just don't have any tickets left, which is a good problem to have.
Yeah,
we've been in that situation before. We're trying to sell tickets, and so it's nice not to have any, but. Again, it's been a tough ticket, and we're excited about the game.
You know, you were a student manager under Bob Knight in your collegiate days, obviously an IU alum, Scott, and this was always a difficult time for our and we'll get to that because Fred is going to have his spotlight employee of the month for December and the department spotlight as well that you'll be announcing here in a bit. But it's always a difficult stretch. Because that's first of all why they're here to get an education.
Yeah, finals week it's tough. But I'll say this: our academic staff, and they are who we're featuring this week, our academic services area. They do a terrific job, and our coaches from top to bottom across the board support. They understand why our students are there, and they do a tremendous job in supporting, and there's a real balance there. And we're fortunate that we don't run into any situations where that balance ever gets out of whack, and we have great cooperation from our coaches. And so hopefully this will just be another good week and have good success this week, and then start looking towards the next semester.
You know, we talk about our theme, 24 sports, one team, but we do have over 600 student-athletes. But we also, as Fred sent a list, Jeremy Gray sent a list, you have the list of behind-the-scenes people who are professionals in every sense of the word that handle all of our student-athletes. Talk a little about our department in the spotlight.
You know, we've always prided ourselves on our academic services area. And, you know, Buzz Kerpius, who is really the George Washington of our academic service area, she started it all and was one of the first academic service professionals really in the industry. She really laid the foundation, and that's continued. Maddie White heads up that area, does a terrific job for us. And again, it's really, I think for our academic services team, it's really a labor of love. Like most teachers, and they do a great job of mentoring and tutoring and counseling our students and making certain that they have everything they need, all the resources they need to succeed. And you know the name Marnie Mooney, who does a terrific job. She's our assistant director.
Recently got married.
Just got
last
married,
Friday.
So we're excited for Marnie. Congratulations to her.
Hubby.
Low Price, Dustin Swanson, Dan Woodside, Krista Sis Morris, Marcus Brown, Jamie Gathing, Eileen O'Rourke. It could go on and on. There's just a great list of support down there that do a terrific job. And again, like I said, it's just really a labor of love for them. And you could just feel it down there. They care. They push the student-athletes. They make certain that they work hard. But they're there for them when they need them. So they're terrific.
You know, and it's tough to pick an all-star out of those names that you just mentioned. But I know you have one in mind for our employee in the spotlight for December.
We did. We picked Jamie Gathing. And Jamie,
she's
terrific. She's, as you know, a former women's basketball star for us. She played for us and really was a great student athlete and had a lot of personality. And it was really terrific that we were able to bring her back. And now she's a part of the athletic academic services team. And having been a former student athlete or having been a student athlete, she has such a great feel for what they're going through and really does a terrific job for us. So we wanted to pick her. Given that it's finals week and we're honoring that department this week, that Jamie's the person that we'd like to spotlight and recognize.
Well, we're wrapping up the 2016 portion of the athletic season and the academic season, obviously. And, well, I see, you know, obviously our young lady, Lily King, her favorite color is still gold. As she went up north of the border in the FINA Short Course Championships in Canada. And all she did was win four. And what great representation. I think we won 12 total medals of the guys and gals that went up there.
Just amazing. And she's incredible. I know you've talked to her, Joe, but to our supporters out there and our fans, she represents everything you want in a student athlete. And she's got a toughness and a mindset, to use Tom Crean's words, that when she goes into a meet, she's got her focus and she's going to do what she needs to do to win. And she's as tough as they come. And just fortunate that she's with us.
And you got that right. Blake Peroni was big. We had Zane Grothy, of course, a post-grad. Cody Miller, an IU alum. He won a gold and a bronze, I believe. So good representation there. Kennedy Goss, the Canadian, native Canadian, won a gold medal as well on that 800-meter free relay team. Hey, before I leave you, word late this afternoon, and we knew Ohio State was going to be on the schedule in 2017, but rather than Labor Day weekend, and you remember, we opened this season on a Thursday night. Tell the folks listening what we got in store for August 31st of 2017.
Yeah, Joe, we're opening up next football season on a Thursday night at home against Ohio State, just announced today, and we think that could really be a premier game nationally, we think, for our students, for our fans. I think it could be a great way to start Labor Day weekend, and we couldn't be more excited to have that game kicked off on a Thursday night and put Bloomington and the community on a national stage. And so I know Coach Allen's excited, the whole program's excited. We've never opened up. As far as I know, you may be able to correct me, I don't think we've ever opened up with a Big Ten opponent before. And I think that's something that – I know that's something that the Big Ten wanted to do to really bring some attention to some early games. So all around, we just couldn't be more excited for that. And I think our fans, I think it'll be a huge night in Memorial Stadium. Coach Allen's first official regular season game as our head coach, so it's going to be a lot of fun and excited for our program.
Well, it's been a long time, 1982, since the last time we opened the season with a Big Ten foe, and that was Northwestern. We beat them 30-0 on September 11th, but it has been a long, long time. And opening against Ohio State for a fifth time. We used to do it regularly for a three-year span there back in the early 50s with the Buckeyes, but obviously we play more games. And by the way, TV and time will be announced obviously a little bit later, but we wanted to get that passed along that IU and Ohio State kicking off the 2017 season on Thursday night. Well, you nearly pulled those Cougars through. I know you went down to see your son play, and the North Cougars had a big lead, lost it, but played a lot better than they did Friday night, but it's still early in the season, so I know you're getting a lot of enjoyment watching Nick play.
Absolutely. It's a lot of fun, and he has a great experience there and couldn't be more happy, and that's my outlet, going to watch him play and see his buddies out there on the court, so it's a lot of fun.
Well, Scott, as always, thanks for stepping in for Fred behind the scenes. Scott Dolson, Senior Assistant VP, Director of Athletics at Indiana U. Happy holidays to you and your family and all the Indiana U family. And I know we'll see you up in Indianapolis this weekend. And obviously, you making the trip. Are you going out to Santa Clara with us, or are you staying here? We got so much going on here.
I know.
Somebody's got to hold the fort down now.
I am going out to Santa Clara, but I'm not sure when I'm coming. I don't know if I'll be back for the basketball game. I'm not sure if I'll be there for the bowl game or not. I'm going to be out there at some point, but I don't know when I'm coming back. So we'll see.
Well, stay safe. And thanks
Thank
for
you.
Dropping
you
in
have a great holiday
to Yogi's. Sounds great.
Thank
Scott
you.
Dolson joining us behind the scenes. And when we come back, hopefully we'll link up via Greene County with J.B. Neal, a familiar name to Greene County folks. He's now in Monroe County, and boy, is he doing a bang-up job with the Edgewood Mustangs. Due to the weather situation, no school today in RBB, and we certainly didn't want his two senior captains out on the roads tonight. And J.B. just underwent an emergency appendectomy back Monday of last week, so he's got to take it a bit easy. But hopefully we'll join J.B. Neal when we come back. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone. Live tonight from Yogi's Sports Bar and Grill here at the corner of 10th and Indiana. And joining us on the phone is the new head basketball coach of the Edgewood Mustangs, J.B. Neal, a familiar name from around the area. He still resides in Greene County, but J.B. was hired back in July to take over the reins of the Mustangs, and he's doing an outstanding job. J.B., you joining us from snowy Greene County tonight?
Yes, I'm here, yes. Thanks for having me, Joe.
How you doing, my friend? It's great talking to you, and of course, it's been our pleasure of doing Edgewood games over the decades. And I know you're all excited, and you got a little bit of a late start being hired in July. But I know you met with the parents at the board meeting, and off you went talking about character, your open door policy, your work ethic, and those have been things over your coaching career that have been awfully good to you, have they not?
Yes, they have. Yeah, I got the job late, so that was that kind of made it tough. We didn't have a summer together, but we kind of put it in warp speed there whenever I got there and established the culture we want to have there as coaches, and the kids have done a bang-up job with that. Sometimes I think we might expect too much in the short stint I've been there, but I've been real pleased thus far with where we're at.
Well, I know you got an outstanding staff, and obviously I did Jeff Harrington's games when he was prepping at Edgewood, and I remember you when Mark Barnheiser coached you over at Eastern. Is you and Harrington go back a few years, do you not?
Yeah, we're starting to get a little old. Coach Harrington and I, we played for real similar guys, and Ron Hakelinski and Mark Barnheiser. Real similar style.
Well, you're talking to old. You guys are still young and young at heart. But tell me, JB, you got off to a formidable start with that schedule of Bloomington South and Martinsville. But, 4-2. But I'm looking at this Martinsville game, and I had a feel that is where, going through the early part of the season and the time that you had to spend with them, that was the buy-in game, if you will. You went up there and you posted a victory over the Yardies for what, the first time in 25 years?
Yeah, I wish someone had told me that before I went up there. I'd probably been a little more nervous than what I was. I didn't realize that. But, yeah, the kids, they really responded. And like you said, coming off of a loss there to Bloomington South, which, you know, I felt like we competed with, but you know how good Bloomington South is. That was nice to go up to Martinsville, and it was a great game up and down, and finally we pulled through there at the end.
Well, you did indeed, and I tell you, I'm looking at the balance, and, you know, Cooper Bybee, and we're going to have you on live here to talk about your ball club as the season moves on. It was a crappy day, no school today in RBB, and we didn't want the players out on the roads either. Cooper Bybee and Jason Brown, your two senior captains, talk about their play, and Cooper's just been electric offensively, has he not, JB?
Yeah. Cooper's he's a lights out shooter. That's for sure. He's really put the time in here the past year. I think in the summer, and then what time I've had with him, he's really worked hard at physically getting stronger and becoming a better basketball player. And it's showing so far this season. He draws a lot of attention, you know, in every game we play. So he earns everything he gets. But he's doing a great job with that and getting his teammates involved. And you know, he and Jason Brown both, I couldn't ask for a better situation with two kids that are seniors, that are leader. Their leadership is, you know, unbelievable this far.
Well, I know that you and Coach Harrington believe in, obviously, defense and rebounding, but you're still playing it. Is man-to-man your staple and push the ball offensively your go-to thing offensively, JB?
Yes, yeah, we that's what an adjustment that we've made here with the kids. They played a lot of matchup zone with Coach Meher, and that was his forte, and we've kind of done a 180 with that, more in-your-face, man-to-man, and help principals. And so that's been an adjustment for kids, and they've done a great job with it. We're still not where we need to be yet, but we continue to get better with that at each game. And we try to play a little faster pace offensively, and it's just a work in progress.
Well, it's a work in progress. It is working. I know that was a tough 1-2 the other day, this past weekend. First of all, let's talk a little about your surgery. And, again, we didn't want to get you out in this cold weather on slick roads. Was that something that just all of a sudden, that appendectomy hit you like a ton of bricks? How are you coming along?
I'm much better than I was last Tuesday, obviously. But I had a warning sign the week leading up to Tuesday, and like at Cloverdale, my stomach was hurting real bad, but I think every coach's stomach hurts when they have to face Cooper Neese. But it got better by Sunday, and then Monday at school about noon, it hit me again, and I finally went to the doctor Tuesday morning, and that's when I had my surgery. So I was out all last week. I was only there Monday at practice, and my staff had to run the show the rest of the week, and they did a great job, but yeah, I'm glad that's passed me. That was a very fun week, and I'm still recovering, but much better than I was.
JB Neal joining us tonight over the phone. Unfortunately, due to the weather situation, no school in RBB tonight on our segment of Sports Talk here live from Yogi's. You know, JB, you talked a little about that Cloverdale game, and there was a great carryover after you played on the road and won at Martinsville. Cloverdale, you had to go on the road and open up the WIC, and again, you had the four-man balance. You were talking about Cooper Neese. Yeah, he got his 37, but you know, Cooper had 20, your own Cooper had 26, and four guys in double figures. You score like that, you're going to be a difficult team to beat this year.
Yeah, and we've got some guys that I'm still trying to get a little more out of that I think by the end of the year we can. We've got two guys, you know, averaging seven apiece, and that's Jason Brown and Joe Keto, and Cam Banister is right there with 7.3. We need to get those guys putting a few more points on the board, and that'll take a little pressure off Cooper and makes us a little harder to guard than what we are right now. But, yeah, we've not won a home game yet, so we may want to move that section from somewhere else because we're playing better on the road than we are at home right now.
Well, I'm glad. Well, I hope we bring you a little bit of luck because we'll be out there with this Indian Creek bench coming in. And like your boys, they're off to a 2-0 start in the WIC East. You like, JB, this new division set up that we have in the Western Indiana Conference, East and West, and then, you know, winner-take-all type of situation later in January?
Yeah, it makes it interesting. I think it puts a real point of emphasis on winning your side. It makes those games, like Friday night, we're both unbeaten. It's a crucial game to control your own destiny. So that's a game we got to have, I feel, if we're going to be playing for the championship of the WIC, in January. So that makes it fun. That makes that game Friday night even more important.
Yeah, we talk a little about that, and unfortunately, we talked about going again on the road in the league, and you ran into another tough bunch, Cascade, and the boys gave you a lot in that second half, and then you had to turn around, and you mentioned the home court game with Bloomfield. Now, they're not shabby, and they're only going to get better. Jamie Hudson, much in the same situation as you, being a good, solid, fundamental coach in his first year at Bloomfield, and that was a dogfight right to the end on Saturday night. Unfortunately, you lost it by three, huh?
Yeah, we came off of a tough game there at Cascade, another conference game, and obviously, Jamie Hudson, great friend of mine, he does a bang-up job, and, he's got three kids that played on a state finals team, so I knew it wouldn't be a walkthrough, so we finally started playing. I felt like about the last 4 minutes of the game, but it was a little too late against a team like that. They were able to hang on there, but we had a couple opportunities and just couldn't get it done.
Joe Keto, you talked about, and I really enjoyed watching him play. And here's a guy that forget his size. I don't care how big he is. His art is outstanding, and so is his court. So is his court awareness. Talk a little about Joe, and I see already he's already posted numerous assists. He is your assist leader and setup man, and he kind of makes the things go, doesn't he?
Yeah, pound for pound, Joe Keto's as good as there is. Talk about his size. I lose him sometimes in traffic, and then he comes out with basketball. But Joe averages five assists a game and 7 points a game. So that tells you how crucial he is for us. And he's one of those kids that he spoils the coach because you don't worry about the ball handling end of your team. And I'm really going to enjoy this year and the next 2 years with him.
Well, no question, and I tell you, the opponents have a hard time finding him too, JB, but he knows one thing. He's got a great eyesight and court awareness, and he knows where to thread that ball, and he's been doing a great job. Hey, you got Indian Creek coming in, and they got some high-quality scorers. My golly, this Tim Abel averaging like Cooper, over 23 points. Bryce Hogue, a little over 18. Zach Pugh. Jared DeHart, all in double figures. Looks like Derek Perry's got a pretty good ball club over in Trafalgar, huh?
Yeah, that's all real depressing there, Joe, whenever you start talking like that. I've watched them on film. They're a very nice basketball team. It'll be quite a challenge for us here Friday night. I know that. They're athletic, and they play physical, and they play fast. So, it ought to be a nice basketball game to watch. Hopefully we can learn some lessons there from Saturday, the Bloomfield game, and that'll wake us up. We'll be ready to go from the start.
Well, I think, too, JB, you'll find out more about your ball club. You responded, I know, that Bloomfield loss into the four-game winning streak, but yet, too, you responded well after the opening loss to South. You like the character and the closeness of this team, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I've got great kids. I tell you, we had a nice practice yesterday and just – thought about, what we were doing right, what we were doing wrong, and they're just a fun group to coach on and off the court. You like to be around them, and that's half the battle. So, I suspect we'll rebound, and we'll be ready to go Friday. And but like you said, maybe get back on another winning streak. A basketball season is a roller coaster ride. It's all about being at the top at the end.
Well, I know one of the goals is to win the league. Obviously, the first part of this is to win the division, and both teams are 2-0. And yeah, I just, I'm a stat guy, so I just threw those out at you. And I know how well you guys are starting to play defensively, so you shut off a good offense with defense. So as you suggest, it ought to be a good loud crowd in the Mustang Corral, JB, and we're looking forward to coming out and calling the game. And hey, we want to wish you the best as you still recover from your appendectomy, and looking forward to talking to you and following the Mustangs this year. And we appreciate you taking some time out and joining us tonight.
Okay, thank you, Joe.
We'll see J.B. Neal Friday night in his Edgewood Mustangs, Chalk Talk and J.B. at 7, and we'll tip it at 7:30. And, again, we had that little bit of a delay due to the fact that, well, we had a delay all this morning. We had school out in RBB, prompting J.B. to stay home in Greene County, the players home as well. Of course, we'll be having them back in here scheduled when the weather turns a bit better, but we certainly appreciate J.B. taking some time off and joining us on the phone here tonight. And again, that will be our feature game. We, of course, started with Bloomington South, looked at North last week, and we'll have Edgewood in this key WIC East Division game coming up Friday. South, by the way, J.R. Holmes looking for his 600th career win. They're on the road at Terre Haute North, who's got a nice ball club. They're 3-2. And the Cougars of North will be at back home. Boy, what a difference a day makes. I mean, disappointing was the fact that after shooting terribly in our broadcast game against Perry Meridian and losing, I think, what, 27%, I was, I'll use the word shocked after I saw them shoot. They go all the way down to Evansville and about knock off the 14th-ranked team in the state in Evansville Wrights and score 90 points, and he had an 18-point lead and lost that ball game in the final 6 minutes and then on into overtime. And, you know, a lot of good talent. Vinsel Kidd, Spencer, Jack Townsend, he couldn't throw it in the ocean the other night. And what's he do? He goes down and shoots 11 threes. They've got a nice young core of players coming up to complement Musa Jallo along with Logan Calvin. So we look for some wins out of the Cougars here, and this would be a good start to get back even in Conference Indiana against the Southport Cardinals, who will come into the McKinney Court 0-6. That's your high school bill of fare on Friday for the fellas. We'll be back to close out and have a few more notes and quotes. So, again, we thank J.B. Neal, the new head coach of the Edgewood Mustangs on the airwaves with Chalk Talk Friday night. We thank JB for joining us, and we'll be back to close things out after these timeouts. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone, as we wind things down here on a Tuesday night. By the way, FYI, this will be our final show of the calendar year, back after the first of the year. Due to the holidays, obviously, we always take a break along with Yogi's. And by the way, they got a deal for you. You take care of your family and friends and let Yogi's worry about the food and drink. And, you know, take a peek and give them a call about their ongoing holiday party menu. 323-9644, area code 812, 323-9644. And, you know, we talked a little about craving an easier way to order. All you got to do is order through their website at yogis.com. Download and order through their app. You can text Yogi's to 33733. Text Yogi's to 33733 and download the order, and it'll be ready for pickup and carry out when you are ready. One of our sponsors as well, Royal South Toyota. They want to keep local business local, so travel south and leave happy. Royal South Toyota on South Walnut or on the web at royalsouth.com. Experience Royal South Toyota today. And you heard our, of course, Dave Hayes and David Hayes and the folks at Comprehensive Financial Consultants have been our title sponsor of the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. By the way, the board finalized class number 7. We haven't set a date in July for induction of this class, and I think that will bring us to 75. But as always, right here at Yogi's, we have picked, I believe, that first Tuesday, I want to say it's the 6th of February, and we'll be announcing officially the 7th Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame class to be inducted in July. So stay tuned for that. Well, the rest of this week, obviously tomorrow night in the zone, Dave and Glass and your phone calls at 6. NFL football Thursday night, the Rams and Seahawks. Of course, the Rams fired Jeff Fisher. We gave you our basketball schedule. And again, thanks to J.B. Neal for joining us over the phone. Difficult with the delay, but we got in some thoughts, and he had some comments relevant to his Mustang basketball team that's doing well. Colts on the airwave, not getting any easier. They play at Minnesota noon pregame, and our nighttime game will be Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. By the way, our employee of the week here, mentioning Yogi's Sports Bar and Grill, Trenton Dunham. And congratulations, and we have had, a host of outstanding staff members who have been in the spotlight here at Yogi's Grill and Bar for our entire 2016 portion. And gosh, we think back to our first show of the of this particular part of the year was August the 5th. So a lot of young men and women who are quality professionals doing what they do best, serving you here at Yogi's Grill and Bar. And again, congrats out to our Employee of the Week, Trenton Dunham. That'll about do it for our show. Our thanks to Scott Dolson, stepping in for Fred Glass behind the scenes, and again to Edgewood Head basketball coach J.B. Neal. We'll see him again later Friday in our broadcast game, Chalk Talk, at 7 o'clock. You've been listening to Sports Talk. Happy holidays from the staff and management of Yogi's and News Talk 96.1 AM 1370 WGCL. Good night, everyone, from Yogi's.